A big question about the White House's cybersecurity proposal is what impact it will have exactly on Homeland Security and cybersecurity. Larry Clinton's the president and CEO of the Internet Security Alliance. He testified about that issue to the Homeland Security Committee, the House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Cybersecurity Infrastructure Protection and Security Technologies, and he's here to tell you what he told them. Larry, it's good to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on today.
Francis, always a pleasure to be on your program.
Here's some of your testimony. When legislation began heating up in the last Congress, we heard reports from policymakers that there were so many private sector entities that were interested in the subject that it was becoming difficult for our government partners to achieve clarity as to where the private sector stood on the issue. Make clear to us where you, as one of the representatives of the private sector through the Internet Security Alliance, stand on this issue.
Well, what that paragraph refers to is a collaborative effort that not only did the Internet Security Alliance participate in, but also our colleagues at Tech America, Business Software Alliance, Center for Democracy and Technology, and the Chamber of Commerce. And basically what we all agreed was that the only practical way to achieve a sustainable system of cybersecurity was through a collaborative partnership between the government and industry, and that is basically what you will see in the National Infrastructure Protection Plan, and has also been endorsed by President Obama's cyberspace policy review. So our organizations, those five organizations, which represent tens of thousands of private sector companies, pulled together, and we used the NIP and the cyberspace policy review as the basis for our work, and then came up with a 23-page white paper with very detailed suggestions with regard to how we think legislation ought to move in this space.
The cyberspace policy review is something that you mentioned in your testimony, and you sat next to Melissa Hathaway, who was involved with the production of that document. What have you seen, and what do you like about what you've seen that the administration has done since that came out shortly after the administration came in?
Well, I think the administration got off to a terrific start with the 60-day cyber review that Melissa Hathaway conducted, and then the cyberspace policy review was a really foresighted document. It basically understood that we need to appreciate cybersecurity not just as a technical and operational issue, but also as a economic and strategic issue, and that what we need to do, among many other things, is to inject market incentives for the private sector into the process, so that we have an ongoing dynamic mechanism to work on these increasingly sophisticated attacks that we're going to have, and we engage the private sector to innovate in that particular space. I think that implementing the principles in the cyberspace policy review has probably gone a lot slower than many of us, I'm sure, including the administration, would have hoped. I think there has been some progress. I think their work on secure identities was an excellent document. I think that their international strategy that came out just recently also was a major step in the right direction. And so we're really excited about working with the administration on both of those areas.
In your testimony before this subcommittee of the House Homeland Security Committee, you said we can create two broad categories of cyber attacks, and I appreciated the simplicity of this because I think there are a lot of people that either tend to or are invested in the concept of making these attacks seem as complicated and diverse as they possibly can. Your two broad categories, one of basic attacks and one of very sophisticated attacks, and you said that most cyber attacks are the basic kind, and they're also largely preventable. Why aren't they being prevented then?
Well, there have been a number of studies that address this. In fact, the Cyberspace Policy Review makes this point also. The market, in fact, has created a vast number of standards, practices, and technologies that can be successful to prevent or mitigate these attacks. Not all always prevent it, but take the harm out of these attacks. And when I say there's been evidence on this, I mean there's been testimony from the NSA, the CIA, the Secret Service, Pricewaterhouse, Verizon, public, private, academic have all agreed that 80 to 90% of these basic attacks, and basic attacks can be very devastating, but these basic styles of attacks could be prevented by adapting these standards, practices, and technologies. But the research also indicates that the number one barrier to doing this is cost. We, in fact, are existing in, as we all know, a very difficult economic time, and there is research that indicates that somewhere between half and two-thirds of American organizations over the last 2 years have either deferred or actually reduced their investment in cybersecurity. So it's not so much that we don't know what to do, it's that we're not doing it, and we're not doing it because the cost is simply prohibitive. Relative to the risk as recognized by these particular organizations. So we need to inject federal policy that is going to provide the appropriate incentives for these organizations to address to implement these standards and practices. And we also have to do a heavy degree of education and training within both the public and the private sector on how to better analyze the financial risks of cyber events. Both of those things need to be done.
Yeah, because when you talk about the return on investment, which you did in your testimony, we have that linked up, by the way, at federalnewsradio.com if you'd like to hear and read what Larry had to say to the Homeland Security Subcommittee. You talked about ROI and the concept that it's baffling to me that people haven't figured out that the risk is potentially tremendously more than what you'd spend on trying to prevent it.
Well, you know, the big problem here, and actually I attended a meeting with President Obama at the White House about a year ago, and he made this exact point, which is that one of the real difficulties here is the interconnection of the system. See, if you and I, if you have data and you share it with me, I now have your data on my online network. If somebody comes and steals that data, they're not stealing anything from me. They're stealing your data. And so I may not have the incentive to upgrade my security because you're not, the bad guy isn't stealing anything from me.
Right.
You're stealing your data from my network. Simultaneously, that is undermining the reason for you to increase your investments in cybersecurity, because we live in this interconnected world and they can get your data someplace else. If we're dealing with, if the example goes from you and me to a maybe, let's say a major weapons provider, those supply chains can be thousands of companies long, and it is impossible for the prime to manage all of the information systems on those thousands and thousands of companies that are all involved in this. So what we have to do is alter the economic model, because when we think of these things, we think, oh, the company being attacked is the one that's getting the loss. That's not necessarily the case. When the people went to attack RSA recently, they stole material from RSA, or they invaded RSA's system for the purpose of then going after Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand that, you know, the losses may not be at the point of the first attack. We are dealing with an increasingly sophisticated suite of attacks that often occur in sequence, and not all of the economics follows all of this interconnected problem. So it's a more complicated problem than it may seem when you take a quick look at it, and that's why we need a more sophisticated 21st century approach to handling the cybersecurity problem.
Larry, thanks for helping us understand this very complicated deal. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
My pleasure, Francis.